We're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the word of God.
You have almost survived the first month of 2015. Good job. Good job. I didn't think you were going to make it for a little bit there, Sean, but you made it. In fact, you have almost survived your first sermon series of 2015. That might be more amazing, right?
All right.
We've been talking about what? Help me out. What have we been talking about? First things first. Very good. Week one, we told you to build an altar first. Week two, we told you to build a
foundation.
And week three, we told you to face your opposition first. All right? And today we're going to tell you that dedication comes first. Dedication comes first. In Ezra chapter 6, they complete and dedicate the temple of God. And it is quite an occasion, and it's a big occasion, and it's remembered forever that this temple was completed. A bunch of slaves came into a broken down city and rebuilt the temple of Jesus Christ, the temple of God. You will never build the life you want without dedication first. Great lives don't just happen. Great marriages, great careers, big dreams, healthy relationships, they don't just happen. Dedication comes first. Israel has faced and defeated their opposition through God's help. We talked about that last week. They are now ready to build the temple, God's house. Before we talk about the complete temple, I want to talk to you about the promise. Can I talk to you about the promise for a moment? Right in the middle of Israel's opposition, right in the middle of Israel's trouble, right in the middle when the hand of Persia reached out and said, no, you cannot rebuild the city, and everything looked impossible. Right in the middle of that, God spoke to Israel. And he spoke through two prophets. We'll read about it. Ezra 5:1. Now Haggai, the prophet, and Zechariah, the prophet, descended of Iddo, prophesied of the Jews in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of God of Israel, who was over them. In the middle of your opposition, in the middle of your struggle, in the middle of the turmoil, in the middle of the divorce, in the middle of bankruptcy, in the middle of the layoff, in the middle of you aren't doing good in school, in the middle of your kids don't talk to you anymore, in the middle of you got an addiction that's secret and no one knows about it, but you struggle with it every day, in the middle of the opposition, God speaks. You got to listen for the voice of God. Let me tell you, here's what usually happens. Opposition comes. People stop listening to the voice of God. They stop coming to church. They stop reading their Bible. They stop praying. I've met with people before. I can't go to a Denny's in this town without remembering a conversation where I had with someone there who said, I can't come back to church because I've got this thing I have to deal with first. They are cutting off God from talking to them to deal with this opposition. Well, it's been a while. They've not been back. The news is you can't handle this opposition. Knock, knock, knock. Hello, you can't handle. Hello, McFly. You can't handle this opposition. You need to hear the voice of God. You need some direction. You need some power from heaven. You need it. You need it. So listen, listen, listen. It's one of the things people are usually the worst at doing. We got to learn to listen. And especially in the middle of our opposition. God wants to talk to you in the middle of your opposition today. That might hit somebody today because you might be like, well, I'm in the middle of my opposition today. Yeah, God wants to talk to you today. I believe that you walked in all this opposition. You walked into church today and God has the exact sermon you need. Because God wants to talk to you. Not because this guy has his act together. Trust me. We know that's not true. God wants to talk to you today. God sent word to Israel through two prophets. We'll talk about Zechariah first. Zechariah and Haggai, but they are two of the minor prophets who spoke in major ways as Israel came out of exile. Zechariah received visions about the importance of the temple. He gave a message that Israel should not give up because what they are doing is important. Listen, if you aren't doing something important, it's not going to matter if you give up. But if it's something important, you better not give up. Amen. Amen. You got problems with your kids? Important, not important. That's important. Don't you dare give up. Your relationship with God's kind of rocky? Don't give up. You don't know which way to go in life, but you think that God has a direction for you? Don't give up. That's important stuff, all right? Don't give up, Israel. What you are doing, the rebuilding of this city, the reclaiming of what God gave you is important. He gave a message, Zechariah did, from God, that even though we are in the day of small things, big things are coming. Even though we're in the middle of small things, big things are coming. Perhaps you know the scripture. It goes a little bit like this. Don't despise the day of small things. Have you ever heard that scripture? That was Zechariah, and he was speaking exactly the context of this chapter, Zechariah chapter 4, verse 10, is about the foundation that Zerubbabel was laying. The context of this scripture is people walking into a broken down, messed up life, and they can only do small little things to fix it. And everything else is broken. He's saying, don't you give up. Don't you get down and stop having faith because you've only been able to do small things. Don't despise the small things because big things are coming. So you've quoted that scripture all your life and you didn't even know the context of it. Small things are okay when you're giving them to God because he brings bigger, greater things. Greater things are yet to come. Greater things are still to be done in this city. We sang it a while ago. Amen. Amen. I believe it. I believe it. It's happened in my life. You may be in the day of small things. You might be in the middle of struggle. But somebody needs to hear the word of the Lord. Somebody needs to remember that he has a promise. And he gave you that promise. Don't ever let go of that promise. Amen. Don't ever let go of that promise. You know, the people that made it in the Bible and the people that didn't make it in the Bible, that you could narrow them down as they held on to the promise, they didn't hold on to the promise. Right. Abraham held on to the promise. Lot held on to Sodom and Gomorrah. Paul, the Apostle Paul, held on to the promise. Demas loved this present world. Are you going to hold on to the promise? Listen, I might not get everything right. That's okay. But I'm going to die holding on to the promise of God. That's the promise. So don't stop. It may be small today. It may be even look like an insignificant thing that you have done. But you just watch what God can do with the little you bring. Somebody once brought him a little meal, right? It was just some fish and bread. But Jesus took it. He multiplied it. And at the end of the day, after everybody had eaten their full, they could eat no more. They collected baskets and baskets full. It started as a small little lunch. And what was left overs was more than what was in the beginning. Because God doesn't despise small things. He didn't look at the little boy and say, "You bring me that?" He said, "I can use that." Oh man, can God use you? Yes, he can. Can God use a little church in Plano, Texas? Yeah, that's the size we are right now. God can use it. Can God use you and your talents and your gifts and your finances? Yes, he can. Absolutely. All right, that's the promise. Hold on to the promise. Haggai brought a message that harmonized with Zechariah. Haggai 2 and 9. Look at this. The glory of this present house. Everybody said present house. Will be greater. Everyone said greater. Than the glory of the former house. Say the former house. Says the Lord Almighty. And in this place I will grant peace. Declares the Lord Almighty. All right. This is an amazing promise. It's an amazing promise. This is also a great example of dual prophecy. So can I teach for a moment? Can I teach you a little bit for a moment from the Word of God? The former house. What's the former house? The former house is the older house. Can anybody name the older house? Solomon's Temple, because they're building a new temple. We're talking about the old house, all right? Solomon's Temple, the temple that Solomon built. It was torn down by Babylon. And the prophecy is the latter house. It's also called Zerubbabel's Temple. This second house, this second temple that they're building in Ezra. This house will be built is going to be more glorious than the former house. The house of Solomon, all right? So we got two houses here. One's dead and gone, but one's coming that's going to be more glorious. It's going to have greater glory than the former house. Everybody follow me so far? So we're talking about a dual prophecy. It is a dual prophecy because it speaks to the immediate. Yes. And yet it also speaks to what is to come. Yes. All right? The prophecy of Haggai 2:9 speaks to the immediate. It speaks to the people that are standing around hearing Haggai speak. It speaks to the people who have a hammer in their hand and they are trying to build the temple. It's speaking right to them at that moment. But it also spoke to what would come later. And it also still speaks to us today about what will come later. That's a dual prophecy. The Bible is full with a lot of dual prophecies. This is a great example of one. So how is this? Here is how. It prophesies of a more glorious temple to come. So this not only applies to the temple being built in the book of Ezra. We've been reading all about it. But it also applies to things to come. Dual prophecy. Here is one way it applies. Jesus. Jesus was the human tabernacle of God. God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself. 2 Chronicles 5:19. And that was a far glorious temple. All right? A man filled with the very presence of God. That when you see him, your Bible says, Colossians 1:15, that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. We've never been able to see the invisible God before, but now he's walking in front of it. And he just healed that man over there. He just fed those people over there. We thought God had come to kill us, but no, he had come to forgive us and embrace us. He said, don't slay that woman. Anyone without sin cast the first stone. This was the picture of God, and it was a far glorious temple. Yeah. Amen. You got that? You got that? Jesus said, in 3 days, I will tear down this temple and rise it up again. And that was in John chapter 2, verse 19. And everybody was like, he's going to tear down this Zerubbabel's temple. He was standing right next to it. He said, but it says in parentheses, they didn't understand what it was about. He was talking about the crucifixion, how he would let this body be torn down, but he would rise again on the third day. He is the far glorious temple. But can I tell you, greater than that temple is to come. He tells us to in John 16:7. He says, it's good that I go away because I am sending the comforter to you and it is better that I go. So does this sound like it's better, what I'm about to tell you? Yeah, it's better. It's far more glorious. You are the temple of God. God's spirit dwells in you. And that is a more glorious temple. 1 Corinthians 3:16. Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's spirit lives in you? The words of Jesus himself, it's far better. I would love to have Jesus standing right beside me. He's walking here and let's go to Starbucks. And we go to Starbucks and I'm standing in line and, I'm like, hey, have you met Jesus? And they're like, no, I haven't met Jesus. Hey, meet Jesus. And it'd be really easy to witness, right? It would be really easy to tell people about Jesus. He's standing right there. I want to tell you real quick. Jesus said it is far greater. He says, greater things will you do because I go, because I've sent the Holy Spirit. Can I tell you, the Holy Spirit inside of us, you, everyone in this room right now, you watching, the Holy Spirit inside of you is greater than Jesus standing beside you. Because Jesus can only stand beside one of us. Unless somehow he breaks that pesky space-time continuum again. But no, him inside of us means he's in all of us. And that means all of us now become the temple of God. There isn't just one temple. There isn't just, what they had was they had one temple, and every Jew, every Hebrew had to travel to that temple. Now you don't have to travel anywhere. You don't have to go anywhere because the Spirit of God is inside you. You are the temple. You are the very presence of God in this world. That's oh awesome. That's far glorious. If you've not experienced the glory of being filled with the Holy Spirit, it is for you today. You can meet us in this altar. You can ask us about us. If you don't know about that, that's fine. We like to talk about it, okay? As good as that is, can I tell you, a more glorious temple is coming. All right, so we had Jesus incarnate, God incarnate. We have you being filled with the Holy Spirit, becoming the temple of God. Get this, the temple of heaven will come to earth. The temple that resides in heaven. There is a new Jerusalem that is going to come down, and with it a temple. Guess what? You can be a pillar in that temple. That's what Revelation 3:12 says. Him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in my temple, in the temple of God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on him my new name. Wait a second. It says they'll never leave that temple. You see, you come to Redemption Church today, but in a few minutes we'll dismiss, we'll have some time of prayer, and you'll leave, and you're not technically at Redemption Church. But there is something coming. When the New Jerusalem comes down, you can't leave the temple. You will always be in the presence of the temple. Here's why. It's a far more glorious temple, and it's not an ordinary temple. Revelation 21:22 gives us a clue. It says this, I did not see a temple in the city. Oh, Chris, what are you talking about now? Well, John the Revelator, argue with him. I did not see a temple in the city. Why? Because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. Yeah. And you can no longer leave that temple. You see, this is no physical temple. The temple is the very presence of Jesus Christ. Yeah, wow. That becomes the new temple. In this city, the new Jerusalem, the presence of Jesus will be our temple. And his presence will be everywhere. You can no longer leave the temple. You can no longer leave the presence of God. Sin will no longer separate you from that presence. His presence is everywhere. The temple is everywhere. There's no more death. Only the presence of God. No more child abuse. Only the presence of God. No more hatred. No more murder. No more gossip. Only the presence of God. No more lying. No more stealing. Only the presence of God. No more fear. Only the presence of God. And you can't leave this temple, and no one can come and tear it down. This temple can't be destroyed. See, Solomon's temple, destroyed. Spoiler alert, Zerubbabel's temple, also destroyed. But the temple that is coming, it is far more glorious. It can't be destroyed. Hallelujah. No one can take that presence away from you. I want to be in that temple. I want to be a pillar in that temple. Look at somebody and say, I want to be a pillar in that temple. I'm going to tell you, being a part of that temple, being a part in that moment, is going to be worth whatever you have to do to get there. Whatever you have to do today to get there, that ought to be priority one. That ought to be first thing first. I want to tell you, a more glorious temple is coming. But what does that mean? More glorious. I really wish I had a great definitive answer for this. I don't. Marshall probably does, so we'll have him preach next week. He'll tell us about it. More glorious. What does that mean? Solomon's temple was actually bigger than Zerubbabel's temple. You can read that in the Bible. It's pretty clear. So that would tell us more glorious doesn't mean bigger size. Is that fair to say? Yes. More glorious doesn't mean bigger size. All right, Solomon's temple was more opulent and expensive. It had more of the choice materials like gold and jewels and silver and cedars from Lebanon and all that Old Testament language. So can we say this? More glorious doesn't mean more wealth.
That's right.
Can we say that real quick? Everybody agree with that? More glorious doesn't mean more wealth. All right. Solomon's temple was a wonder of the ancient world. Other world leaders and rulers at that time, like the Queen of Sheba, marveled over the temple. They would come and visit that temple and marvel over its beauty. Yeah. So can I tell you, more glorious doesn't mean more popular or having more notoriety.
Right.
None of these things are said about Zerubbabel's temple. You got me so far. Yeah. Let's go a little further. At the dedication of Solomon's temple in 2 Chronicles chapter 5, the glory of the Lord. Now we're talking about more glorious stuff. What's more glorious than the glory of the Lord? The glory of the Lord entered the temple and completely filled the temple with a cloud. And that cloud was so thick and it was so strong and so big that all the priests present had to say, I can't do anything. I can't minister. I can't offer sacrifices right now because the glory of the Lord is so strong. If that happened right now, it would be absolutely amazing and trippy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sorry, guys, I can't preach. The glory of the Lord's everywhere. I can't even see you anymore.
Jesus.
It'd be crazy.
Yeah.
Y'all would be checking the fire alarms. There'd be all this crazy stuff. Where the holy smoke out of nowhere. This manifestation of God's glory was crazy strong. I have never experienced something that looked like that. It doesn't happen at Zerubbabel's temple. So can I tell you, more glorious does not mean a more dynamic manifestation of God. Y'all follow me so far? I mean, this makes sense, right? It almost appears like the prophet Haggai might have made a mistake. Because when we look at the evidence here, God, Solomon's temple looks far more glorious. The second temple wasn't larger, it wasn't more costly, it wasn't more famous, it wasn't more supernaturally powerful. How could it be more glorious? Can I tell you real quick? Maybe we have the wrong idea of glory. Maybe we don't get glory. Maybe we don't understand what makes things more glorious. You want a glorious life? Maybe you have been looking to the wrong things. Maybe a really pretty building with stained glass won't bring God more glory. Maybe more money in your bank account isn't actually more glorious. I believe the prophet said, mo money, mo problems. Is that wrong? Amen. All right. A little humor there. All right. Could it be that we're chasing after the wrong glory? Could it be that we're chasing after a vain glory and not God's glory? As far as I can tell, Solomon's temple had more of everything than Zerubbabel's temple, except for two things. The second temple had more glory, and the second temple had more opposition. All you Bible scholars out there, maybe you can find something else. But those are the only two things I can see that Zerubbabel's temple had more of than Solomon's temple. Moses built his portable tabernacle. This is the makeshift temple, right? In the desert after his enemies had drowned in the Red Sea. His enemies are no more. And it was before he would cross over into the promised land where they would end up fighting their opposition. They're in the wilderness without opposition. They erected that tabernacle. And Solomon built his temple with no opposition. He was a world power. He was wealthy and wise. He had a united kingdom. It was back when the 12 tribes were actually 12 tribes. No one opposed Solomon. But this second temple, it had something Moses' tabernacle and Solomon's temple lacked. It faced opposition. Now, we've talked about that opposition, so I'm not going to dive into that again. Check the website for that sermon. It's last week's sermon. But I do have to tell you what God wants me to tell you. I really feel like God has something for you to hear. So turn up your listening. Last weekend, I was praying about this sermon, and God gave me some specific things to tell the people that were going to be in this room today. There is glory in dedicated temples. I'm talking to people who, like Israel, have stood in the spot where a temple used to stand, but now only ruin stands. There's an area of your life that you look at and say, it shouldn't look like that. It used to look a lot better. I believe it's not God's will that it looks that broken and messed up. There are people who are in this place where a relationship or a marriage used to stand. And you struggle to find the healing you need. You struggle to move on. And you think trying again might bring shame. Or even no people knowing about it might bring shame. Especially in churches. People just judge in churches. So we're nervous to talk about it. We're nervous to get that all out. You might stand in a place where a dream once stood. And I had this dream. I had this vision. I had this hope that my life would turn out this way, that I would start this business, that I would do this thing, that my family would look like this, whatever that is. But you now stand in a place where that dream is no more. It has been torn down and it is nothing but ruin. You might stand in a place where a happy life with a good job and a house and money and a good money in the bank, all that used to stand. You aren't sure that life can be rebuilt. I'm here to tell you. I'm here to declare the promise spoken by the prophet Haggai. The glory of the latter house will be greater than the glory of the former house. That's the promise. You want to grab onto a promise today. That's the promise. Those things that are dead and gone and laying in ruin, they don't define you. What defines you is the house that God himself can build in your life and bring glory. He was the one that brought glory to the first house. He will bring more glory to this house. Why do I know that? Because he said so. He said so. You can rebuild, and the house you rebuild can be more glorious. Let me tell you, trouble won't follow you always. You will not always be defined by that thing. More glory is coming because that's the kind of God we serve. Redemption Church, can I talk to you for a second? I need to talk to you for a second. We have faced opposition as a church. Oh, yes, we have. We have had leadership that suddenly left. Yes, we have. And we saw people leave Redemption Church. And we have these visions that we wanted this to happen, but this happened. And we wanted to reach these people, but this happened. And we wanted to do these things. And what was going on? We faced opposition. We saw people leave Redemption. And there were times we wondered if this church would make it. Can we get real in the place? Is that all right if we get real? There were times where we wondered if we would even make it. But a group of people decided to dedicate. In the face of opposition, they said, no, I'm down for the struggle. I'll follow God. I feel like God wants me to be right here. I'm going to plant my feet into this ground and stay. And they dedicated and they decided to rebuild. I want to tell you, God wants you to know the glory of his house will be greater. The glory of his house will be greater. I don't all know what all that means, but you need to grab onto that hope. No, let me be real. It doesn't necessarily mean attendance is going to be greater. It doesn't necessarily mean that money is going to be greater. It doesn't mean that notoriety is going to be greater. But it means that his stamp, his glory, his presence, what he finds glorious is going to be greater. And let me tell you, that's what's better than all those other numbers anyway. Numbers come and go. But God's favor on you, God's love for you, God looking at you and saying, yes, I'm proud of you. Oh man, that stands for eternity. Give me that every time. You can rebuild and you can see a more glorious house. The glory is not in the building with four walls. See, they said this house is going to be glorious. But you'd be incorrect in saying the house is going to hold the glory and that the four walls is what where the glory is. No, 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 no. You see, God places his glory on the people who are dedicated to the things of God. God places his glory on the people who are dedicated to things of house of God. So guess what? If you're dedicated to things of the house of God, the glory is for you. God's glory is going to cover you. It's not just for the pastor. It's not just for this church. Say, isn't that a glorious church? No, it's while you're walking out in this world, the glory of the Lord is going to shine in your life. God's glory is not about buildings. He proves that in Revelation when the New Jerusalem comes down. There is no building. There's only God's favor on his people. Dedication in the face of opposition will only bring more glory. I want you to hear this. If you stay dedicated, your opposition can't stop you. Your opposition can't stop you. Even those disciples who lost their life, they didn't lose their faith. Their opposition didn't stop them. They are in heaven. They weren't stopped by their opposition. Paul beheaded. He would want you to know. He didn't lose to the opposition. He won. He said himself, to be absent from the body is to be present with Christ. There is a crown laid up before me. Though I press to the mark of the prize of the high calling of God. He did not give up. If you stay dedicated, your opposition can't stop you. In fact, the work of the opposition will backfire. See, what the opposition wants to do is stop you. But if the opposition can't stop you, if you stay dedicated, the opposition will only end up bringing you more glory. There's going to be more glory in your story if you stay dedicated. You say, we spend too much time thinking about the opposition. I know I'm right. We think too much thinking about that bill. We think too much thinking about that past mistake. We think too much thinking about that person that doesn't like us. Or even the person that we think doesn't like us, but they're on Facebook and they're so passive aggressive. Who can tell? You can spend so much time thinking about your opposition. Don't think about your opposition. Your opposition, God can use them as a tool to sharpen you, to try you in the fire. And the gold that comes out of that fire is more pure and more glorious. I want you to start thinking about the glory of God that's going to be shown, that's going to be found. Now, the glory, if you look up glory in the Old Testament and in your Bible, just period, look up Hebrew and Greek. It's a really hard word to understand. The Old Testament says that it's heavy. Glory means heavy. It's this heavy thing. I don't fully understand everything that glory is, but I know I want it. I know if God's got glory, I know I want it. So the enemy, your enemy can't stop you. It can only make your story more glorious. What brought glory to the story of Job? Satan shows up in heaven, says, I'm going to pick off this guy. You just watch. You just watch. I'm going to bring opposition on him. But he did not curse God. He loved God. He worshiped God. And his story is remembered forever. It is a glorious story. What brings the glory? I'm telling you, Zerubbabel's temple, what it had on Solomon, wasn't gold. It wasn't notoriety. It wasn't fame. It wasn't even a great manifestation testimony story. But it was that they stayed dedicated in the face of opposition. I'm talking to some people. You stayed dedicated in the face of opposition. Can I just pat you on the back? Can I tell you I love you? Thank you for being dedicated in the face of opposition. It hadn't been easy. No, it hadn't been easy, but you've been faithful. You've worshiped God. You've cried tears of praise to God when you didn't know what else to do. Let me tell you, that was glorious. Glorious. Yeah, it is. Yes, it is. Sarah, if you could come, I want to encourage you to stay dedicated. Stay dedicated. Yes. Israel came out of exile and they rededicated. They had been in rebellion against God for years, but now they're rededicated to God. Israel dedicated when it cost them money, when it cost them time, And when it cost them effort, we talked about the building of the foundation. And Israel dedicated even when they faced opposition. You see, it's real easy to dedicate when you know, things only cost you a little bit and then things get a little bit harder. But now you've got someone standing in your face saying, we're going to make sure you get in trouble. We're going to make sure you get fired. We're going to make sure everybody knows what a loser you are. If we can't find something bad about you, we'll make it up. And that's what that opposition did. And they wrote back to Xerxes, the prince in Persia. And he writes back and says, y'all are in trouble. Y'all touch that building one more time. If y'all build in that city, I'm going to destroy you. The hand of Persia is on you. But they dedicated even when it calls for waiting. You can be dedicated. Sometimes you don't know what to do. That's okay. Give God your best dedicated wait and see.
That's good.
Keep coming to church. Keep worshiping. Keep calling on his name. That is glorious. Stay dedicated. And because of their dedication and because of God's faithfulness, they completed a more glorious house for God. Ezra 6, they dedicate the temple for God's use. Now, here's the last thing I'm going to tell. The only time Israel fell into trouble is when they lacked dedication. That's when Israel fell into trouble. It wasn't ever an enemy showed up that they couldn't handle. No, because their God could handle any enemy. Problems came up when they weren't dedicated to the purpose of God. That's when their city got ransacked by Babylon in the first place. That's when their city got ransacked later. So, you need a dedication that remains. You need to stay dedicated even after success comes. I'm going to tell you, the hardest place to stay dedicated is after success. In the middle of the trial, Mark, it's real easy to, man, when we needed that job, we were on our face. God, give us that job. And then when you have that job, sometimes we don't go hit our face on the ground and pray anymore. When we pray, God, send this provision, and God sends this provision, it's like, great, God, I'll see you next time I have a problem. You got to stay dedicated after the success. Spoiler alert, Israel gets in trouble later. After they've built this temple, they stop using it for its dedicated purpose. God tells them, only bring these kind of lambs and only do these kind of things. And they're like, no, I think one-eyed lambs and broken leg lambs will work just as good as spotless, perfect lambs. And so we'll put this on the altar. No, 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 Israel. You aren't just cutting corners here. You aren't just saving a dollar. You're breaking from dedication. And when they started worshiping other gods around the city, but then let's go to the temple and talk to our God, but then we'll go to other places in the city and we'll give offerings to other gods. Israel, you've got the temple, but you've left your dedication. I want to tell you real quick, you might be in struggle, stay dedicated, but do not fall for that trick. Of you are now in a good place. You are now seeing a miracle. You're now seeing the provision of God. Do not let your dedication dip. Stay dedicated. Sean, I'm so proud of you, man. You're praying for which college to go to. You've got all these colleges. You're going to go do your graduate work. We're so proud of you. You're praying really hard. I want to tell you, you need to pray just as hard. You need to stay just as dedicated after that college calls you and you know which direction you're going in life. Promise me, stay that dedicated. Stay that dedicated. Stay that dedicated. We could talk about a lot of things. Real quick, people get in financial problem and they work really hard. Oh God, we got all these bills we got to pay off, or we're going to lose stuff. They're going to repo stuff. And so they pay all that stuff off and like, woo, we got that off our back. Dedication just flies away and they come back to the same problem. Don't let that happen to you. It works in every area of your life. Where are you today? Are you facing opposition? Is that where you are? We talked about the steps, the timeline of a vision last week. Some of you told me this week, I'm in step 3. And I understand that, but step 4 is coming where God resurrects your vision. But are you Are you in step three right now? Are you in that place where opposition is? Well, then my question for you is, are you dedicated? Because if you're dedicated, you're going to come out of that just all right. I believe it. But are you experiencing success? Great. Praise God for that. My question for you is this. Are you dedicated? Are you dedicated? Are you dedicated to rebuilding your life? When we come to Redemption Church, we do three things. We've worshiped God together. We've received the word of God together. Now I want you to have a moment where you talk to God. I want you to talk to God. I want you to rededicate your life to God. If there's some sin in your life, why don't you repent? Rededicate to God. If you've been doing some things where you're just not paying attention to them, repent of that. Bring back that dedication. These altars are open. If you want to come pray, that's fine. If you want to stay where you are, all of that is great. If you want us to pray with you, you're just coming to the first 2 feet and that lets us know you want us to pray with you. I believe if you come and you ask God today, no matter where you're standing in the first 2 feet or if you're sitting in your chair, I believe God will hear you. I believe God loves you. And if you will dedicate your life to Him, you will see great things you never thought possible. The glory of the second house can be greater than the glory of the first house.
Thank you for joining us. For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. And be sure to connect with us on Facebook and Twitter.